ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Annis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. We got a lot of economic events today for Wednesday, May 17th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Well, we did see that the dollar sank today. And, of course, this is all concerns fueled that Donald Trump is pretty much, the impeachment word was thrown around quite a bit, even though I think we're really far away from that. But if he's so busy in trying to defend his case, it kind of seems like his economy-boosting agenda could, you know, be a little off track. The market's took an impact from that. We'll be talking about a lot about this after the first segment of the program today, because usually on Wednesday we have Wendy Wilson joining us. So I just wanted to let the listeners know that we will be talking about what went on in the markets, how we saw the European markets. They all tumbled 1.5%+. Paris shed 1.6%. Frankfurt shed 1.4%. The dollar took a beating. And so gold, of course, was the beneficiary of the action that we saw in the markets today. So gold was up strong from the get-go today, and we still have gold up $21.90 today at $1,259.60. We have silver. It was higher. It went down, and then it came back a little bit, $16.95, only up a cent. But we did have a high of $17.11. Platinum was up $4 at $948. And as I would expect, palladium is lower, almost 2%, down $15 at $781. The USDX today was down another 0.70 after a hard day yesterday. We're looking at $97.50. Crude oil climbed only 33 cents today at $48.99. And the paper markets today, the Dow was down a big 371 points, almost 2%, 1.75%, a little over 20,607. The NASDAQ was down almost 3%, huge drop for the NASDAQ, 6,011, down 158 points. The NASDAQ, or the S&P, sort of tracked the Dow. It was down 1.81%, down 43 points at 23.57. So, you know, the markets are coming away with, gee, it doesn't look like we're getting the tax cuts. Gee, it doesn't look like we're getting the infrastructure spending. Gee, it doesn't look like much is going to come by the way of this administration. And, of course, if they continue to pursue and Donald Trump, something's going to have to change. And I certainly don't believe, you know, everything that they're throwing at him. But, I don't believe the administration is handling it very well. You have the 10-year yield, the price shot up and the yield dropped 0.11 at 2.22%. And earlier the euro was 111. Now we see it at 112. It hasn't been there since, for a long time, 112 on the euro. It was up 0.59. And as I mentioned, the foreign markets got hit pretty heavy overnight. Not quite as bad as our market, so I can't even imagine what we'll wake up to tomorrow morning in those European markets. And, of course, we have Mr. Trump that will be heading overseas. And that's something we're going to be talking about is he wants to bring a NATO to the Middle Eastern with the Saudis. And that's just like, okay, lots to talk about today. So make sure you stay tuned. First, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about biohacking today, what science is doing, making things glow in the dark. Because they've been kind of having fun experimenting for the last 20 years making plants glow in the dark. And so there's really, though, something really perverse about the idea of making creatures that don't normally glow, but make them glow like a neon sign. Yep. So we're going to take a look at what science is doing with regard to making things glow in the dark. and how that's going to affect our health treatments. So basically, the scientists at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine have been making plants and animals glow in order, they said, to observe their DNA messenger proteins in this biological process where they can check the mechanics of the proteins. So they're saying that the glowing allows them to see the mechanism, and if a mechanism is faulty, how they may be able to regulate it. So here's a list of some of the items that science has biohacked to make them glow in the dark. We have mice, cats, pigs, dogs, plants, fish, you mentioned rabbits, Al, earlier, mushrooms, and of course brain tumors, but they make them glow for the purposes of surgical removal. So why? Why does science want to, you know, create mushrooms to make them glow? That's a good question. Is it to make it easier to find them in the forest? Partly, because growing mushrooms commercially nets the agricultural industry $1.11 billion. And why make a zebrafish glow in the dark by hacking the DNA? Is it to entertain the elite who have an exotic fish tank? Maybe a new way of having a nightlight? But we're told that, no, the glowing zebrafish is to track sugar proteins and see how they affect cell communication and how they behave in embryos. Likewise, the glowing kitty cats, researchers are saying it's to help science better understand how genes are protected and how viable they are for successive generations, and also to assist them in the treatment of AIDS. As for the glowing mushrooms, it's really not to make your pizza look any more festive, but it's used to monitor fungus, they said, to control the metabolic clock and to find ways to resolve things like insomnia. Also, making mice glow in the dark, scientists say it makes it more visible, of course, for predators to see them, but they're experimenting with mice's RNA and see if there's a way to advance the vaccine agenda and other cancer treatments. Any questions so far?
No, it's all pretty fantastic, but I'm curious. Christmas is coming. If I get a half dozen of these glowing rabbits, can I hang them on the tree instead of lights?
Gee, you know, I never thought of living
well,
Christmas
lights.
Well,
it's something we could maybe patent. I don't know.
Living Christmas lights. That's a new concept. There may be a niche market out. I don't know. Well, I'll have to mold that one over. Well, you know, the reason they're making dogs glow in the dark with regards to that, science is saying they want to expand a dog's genetic diversity. So, of course, you know, we hear things like, you know, these modifications will make dogs healthier by eliminating a lot of elements that make them more vulnerable to certain diseases. However, dog breeding has led to many of these vulnerabilities in the first place. You know, man has created dogs with oversized heads, short legs, and even teacup-sized dogs to fit in your purse. So science says they can breed out all those recessive genes that can cause these genetic disorders. And we're told that using gene-editing CRISPR machines is the way of the future for breeding dogs. However, biohackers really don't need to have a $1 million laboratory. Some have as little as a metal shed with modest equipment to conduct some basic genetic engineering. So you can order actually cultivated photohabitus luminescence, which is a DNA bioluminescent bacteria. You can order that online. And that's what oil field operator David Ishii of Jackson, Mississippi did. And he mixed that with dog sperm. And then he got a CRISPR unit from a synthetic biologist who sells them as a kit. And then he impregnated his female dog. So Ishii said that he had really no qualms about making these Franken-puppies. And he hopes the concept catches on. And he can create genetically perfect glowing pups. And he can breed them for sale. I don't think any of them are going to be guard dogs, because then you would see them, you know.
Well, maybe you can use them as a reading light.
Oh,
keep
them
around your bed and get the dog. You can read by the dog.
Right. Well, you know, we mentioned the pigs. So bacon and eggs has been kind of a standard breakfast meal for generations. Now that science is making glow-in-the-dark pigs, does that mean your bacon is going to glow on your plate? Well, in 2013, scientists at South China's Agricultural University announced that they had engineered pigs that glow. They used the fluorescent protein from a glowing jellyfish, and pigs now glow under a black light. So it kind of sounds like an awful lot of trouble to go to just make medicine therapy more cost-effective, but that's why they're doing it, they say. So at least that is what scientists say they're doing with it. Further explanation reveals that these glowing animals will really be harvested for their enzymes, which is cheaper than making synthetic ones to make drugs from. So we doubt your glowing pig meat will be available as a consumption item, so I think your breakfast bacon is safe for now.
So it won't be the other white meat then, it'll be the other chartreuse meat maybe, or?
Yeah, I don't know, it's just, you know, little neon pig meat, I don't know, it's, I think the meat's going to compete with the neon sign in the grocer's window maybe, I don't know.
This world is getting, it really is getting too weird for me.
Well, you got to have fun with it because it is kind of insane, it really is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, since they're talking about animal diversity with all this biohacking, you know, what about human diversity? You know, science wants to expand the diversity of animals with the genetic CRISPR and bioluminescent ingredients and so forth. How long do you think it's going to be they want to do the same thing with humans? Well, apparently not very long. A law was submitted to the legislation prohibiting such procedures in 2015 in Georgia. A Georgia legislator by the name of Tom Kirby realized the prospect of human jellyfish cloning, and he found it disturbing, so he entered law HB 287, which was called the Ethical Treatment of Human Embryos Act, which bans the practice, and apparently the law didn't pass in 2016, even though several legislatures did sign on to support the bill. Here's what Representative Tom Kirby said in Georgia. He says, human life at all stages is precious, including embryos, and we need to get out in front of the science and technology before it becomes something no one wants. The mixing of human embryos with jellyfish cells to create a glow-in-the-dark human, we say no in Georgia.
Do you think they'll be able to sting people if they glow in the dark?
I think the future may be quite hideous, you know, if science keeps going unchecked. I really do.
I agree. And you know when he says we need to get out in front of science on this thing, do you think that's even possible? I mean, there are things that are being imagined right now by people who are working in a lab that's nothing but a shed in the backyard.
Yeah, no.
They're imagining things that many of us can't even conceive of, and I guarantee they're imagining, and all of a sudden something's going to pop out of that shed. And
well, that's why, you know, you see a lot of this stuff up on the internet where things washed up on the beach, the weird-looking, creepy mm-hmm. creatures that don't even look like anything we're familiar with, you know? So I think they're doing it already, like you're suspecting, Al. But, you know, humans, you know, have a natural glow all on their own, and they don't need to be biohacked to do that. Pregnant women often are complimented for their glow when because they get more oxygen-rich blood to the skin. So a healthy glow in skin is suggesting you have a slightly little flushed look, and it means you have healthy heart function and good lung function. And according to scientists at the University of Bristol and St. Andrews, the UK, you don't need gene editing to achieve a healthy glow because research has showed that your diet can help with that glowing complexion. So scientists studied skin pigments and how it relates to healthy appearance, and they found that people who smoked or had diabetes or heart disease had fewer red blood cells in the surface of their skin, so they had less of that rosy-toned look to their skin. They also concluded that skin pigments are influenced by the pigments in your foods, the carotenoid pigments in fruits and vegetables. So your plant pigments are powerful antioxidants, and they neutralize toxins, lower the risk of disease, and give you that healthy glow. So their research was published in November 2009 in the Journal of Primatology. Now, also, scientific medicine is, you know, kind of projecting the message, hey, you have no control over your health. Disease is a result of random fate, and your diet, your lifestyle have nothing to do with your health. However, previous research contradicts that. American Academy of Dermatology in November of 2007 stated there, their research confirmed eating foods rich in protein and vitamins and minerals offer this healthy anti-aging benefit, so you won't age as quickly. So the research that they conducted was at the Columbia University in New York at the School of Medicine there, and also similar studies were done at the University of Pennsylvania, and the research was published in the American Academy of Dermatology. So according to the scientists there, this is Dr. Susan Taylor, professor of dermatology, she says, there's really no mistake how our diet affects our overall health. We're just beginning to understand how certain foods, or the lack thereof, can impact our skin's health. So some of the foods they recommended were, you know, a variety of fruits and vegetables, especially the dark green leafy vegetables and vegetables and fruits with orange pigment, yellow pigment, also calcium-rich foods to help the skin stay healthy and elastic and stretchable, and lean meats and fish along with some whole grains. And that's basically an organic diet that's very, very good. Fruits, vegetables, meats, fish, whole grains, nuts, seeds, beans, lentils, plenty of water. No dairy, because dairy traps toxins in, and that can make you more vulnerable to conditions. So you want absolutely the right uptake of the nutrition, and when you look at the chemistry in our foods that God created for us, you have the mineral uptake with the vitamin uptake, and so that's how the body utilizes it. So you can get a lot more nutrition with a lot less volume, so you really don't need mega doses to get there, you know?
I understand. Mm-hmm. My question, one of my questions is this, if they are already talking about, well, two questions. Mm-hmm. If a creature is, they've treated the sperm with some of this glow-in-the-dark jellyfish gene or whatever, does this become a permanent part of the pig's genetics, where any of the baby pigs born to this father from then on, they also wind up glowing in the dark?
Yeah, it'll be transferred. Sure will.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and even research says that you can actually influence your own DNA with your diet. So there's a lot of things that can influence DNA and what you pass on. So Robert Thiel, he's a PhD, he says there's lots of university studies that show that your foods and your supplements full of the right nutrition is better than the isolated synthetic supplements. Food is better because it contains a lot of the important enzymes and peptides and phytonutrients, which are critical for utilization and not present in the isolated supplements. So whole foods and whole food supplements is what we should be using.
Why don't you give us a little contact information and tell us what the powerherbs.com might have to help people glow. And I don't mean like I don't mean jellyfish.
Absolutely. Of course, you know, we have toxin removal products and immune boosting products, but we also have things for healthy skin like our calcium formula. If you're a little low on the whole food supplement issue, we have that called the Body Food Mix, and they can call us at 866-229-3663 or visit us at thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you, Wendy. Interesting as always. It's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Give her a call.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, we are running a special today on Mint State 62 $20 gold pieces. Premiums are beginning to rise. These were the coins that I, at one time, could sell at the same price as a gold eagle. I mean, the spread isn't huge, but it is greater by $40. And so, again, just a small little thing. We haven't seen any. You know, yes, the price of gold is rising, but we haven't seen any major shocks or anything as yet. Okay, this is just the beginning. But we're selling Mint State 62 $20 gold pieces today at $1,360. It's a great time to be buying them. You get your privacy, your performance, your protection from the $20 gold pieces, and you're only looking at a $40 spread difference from a 1 ounce gold American Eagle coin. So a great, great coin to be purchasing. And not too long ago, I can't remember the exact time the U.S. Mint came out. Remember the old gold mercury dimes, the 10 cents? Well, they made them with gold. They were a year ago, 2016. I don't remember exactly what month it was last year, but they have 2016. I have some either 2016 10-cent gold mercury dimes. They're mint state. They're graded by PCGS. They're $280 each, but there is a minimum of 10 coins. So if you're interested in picking up something a little bit different in your portfolio, they're really cool coins. You know, just a mercury dime, but they're gold. And really, really nice coins. And so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And again, we saw a lot of changes to the gold price today. We saw gold rise for the past, you know, 3-4 days. Currently, we're looking at gold up in the New York spot price, up 23 at 1260.70. 1260.70 for gold. So we're still struggling, still holding that 1694, 1695 level. Platinum is pretty much the same as it was, but gold seems to be the winner of the day. A lot of pressure on the stock markets today. Again, the Dow was down about 1.75%, and the NASDAQ was down almost 3%, well, 2.5%. So big days, big down days in the stock market. And
so what's making it go down?
Well, you know, it's pretty much politics right now.
I'm not sure
if it's just a cover, you know, if it's covering up something. Certainly we all know the structure of our monetary system has been cracking for a very long time. It just needed a push. And I think with what is happening from the administration, and whether you believe, you know, you don't have to believe what's going on, you can believe what's going on, but the fact of the matter, it is going to have an impact on the markets. Jack Welch, he said an impeachment of Trump would blow the market away. He actually gave Trump a D- on his management of the White House, but he actually gave him an A on the policy front and in his cabinet and Supreme Court picks. He says he'd also give Trump an A for boosting morale among businesses and consumers. But he says that an impeachment proceeding would blow the market away. And, of course, this all comes down to Trump's firing of James Comey. You know, that was a rookie mistake. You have Comey coming back, fighting back. So many different things going on as far as the impeachment word being uttered. I think they're a far cry from having anything solid in order to continue with any type of impeachment. But what I find interesting now is I just don't see the administration fighting back.
Well, not effectively, that's for sure. But I mean, it's
so
what seems to be happening is you've got the establishment is just saying we're going to get this guy out of here no matter what, right? And it doesn't. They don't seem to be necessarily concerned with having real evidence. But you've got a little bit of a death by a thousand cuts going on here. If people keep saying impeachment, 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 people are going to start to believe there's grounds for an impeachment, and that maybe they just neuter Trump by simply talking about impeachment and another impeachment, another impeachment, just drag it along. I mean, some of this strikes me that this is excessive. This is unwarranted. This is unjustified by any fundamentals. This is a situation where we've got some people who can't stand Trump, and they're going to do everything they can to pry him out of the office. Mm-hmm. And this is the this is appears to me, at least, to be the establishment that's attacking him from all sides. And I mean, he's got to have a hard time right now looking around and saying, okay, these people are on my side. I got to fight these people over on the left-hand side. I got the people on the right. I don't know who he can count on as allies right now. He seems to be surrounded. It doesn't seem to be phasing him in a way that's apparent to me and to the public, but it has to weigh on him. You know, you would think somebody's going to stand up and say, yay, Donald, and I don't think he's getting that out of the government itself. And it's evidence of something, if I'm understanding it correctly. It's evidence that the government's relationship to the people of this country really is adversarial. And they want to maintain their power, and they want to be, and they're willing to expose themselves as the public's adversary rather than the public's servant. Oh. I don't know if it's true or false, but there's something about this. There have been elements of the left, elements of the media who have been rabidly opposed to Trump ever since he was elected, and even before that, but particularly since the election. They have been coming after him every way they possibly can, and I don't know, you know, there's a point in time when that has to wear on you. Trump is a big boy. I don't doubt he's got a thick skin and the rest of that sort of thing, but just the same, there's got to be a point where you get blamed, like I was talking over last week. Oh my gosh, Trump ate a bowl of Cheerios for breakfast, and this will be cause for the left to say he needs to be impeached. He's eating Cheerios again. At some point, this has to be shown up to be absurd. And I think part of the problem is, you mentioned someone who gave Trump a D- for managing the White House and his administration, and I think that's part of the problem. He should have people there that he can count on to go forth and battle the left. He doesn't have time to do this all the time. He can't not fight them, and he can't devote the energy that's necessary to stand up and personally say, this is a bunch of crapola, and here's why. So it should be a job for Mike Pence or for any of the other members of his cabinet. They should be coming up and doing a more aggressive job at challenging the left. And for the moment, I don't see that happening. Maybe it is, but I don't see it happening.
And all but the only thing that Trump comes back and claims, oh, well, nobody is, no politician in history has ever been treated this bad. And,
well, I agree with you.
But I agree. But that's not going to win the battle. That's not going to help him at all. He's just whining. Quit your whining and start managing.
Well, I think maybe...
You know, quit opening the door for these things to come in and hit you in the head. But that's
what
he's
doing. Trump just rules in an impulsive way. All right, he's used to just doing things his way, and all the employees have to get along with it. And the government says, no, we don't. This is different from his businesses in New York City. No, it's not a situation where everybody said, yes, boss, whatever you say, boss. He's
He's at a Coast Guard commencement, and then he starts bashing the media. And it's just like, no, you're there for a reason. Stay focused. He had opportunities. He had his speech in January to Congress. Has everyone forgotten?
No, he didn't speak.
Pardon?
He didn't speak in January. Well, I don't believe he did. Did he?
Well, did he end of January or February, whenever he spoke to Congress, when he didn't do the State of the Union. It wasn't called the State of the Union because he was just elected president. They don't call it the State of the Union until the next year. So his address to Congress, whether it was the end of January or in February at some point in time, he got A's. I mean, he got a lot of praise from everyone. Even after Syria, he had praise. People thought he handled the situation well. And then it's just like he's just gone totally off track. And it's just like, who's managing him? Where's his daughter? Well, we found out where his son-in-law has been. He's been working with the Saudis to get this program going. But he's been missing in action, it seems. And it's just like, he's just like a fish out of water.
Well, he's lost control of the narrative, right? Which is a concept that they talk about periodically. And it has nothing to do with the truth of the matter per se, or at least not much. It's a matter of causing the narrative, the story. What's the story? The story is impeachment. And whether there's cause for impeachment or there's not cause for impeachment, I think this is a bad situation. And as even if there is cause where you might have justification for impeachment, I don't see that he did anything that was all that spectacular. All right. Now, that may or may not be true, but I don't see that he did anything all that spectacular. And if we're going to impeach this Republican president for, again, eating a bowl of Cheerios, what are we going to impeach the next president for and the next Democratic president? Are we going to give them a pass like we gave Obama a pass? You know, one of the things about this, Obama got away with things like, where is his birth certificate? Right? If the mainstream media was at all fair and unbiased, they should have given Obama as much trouble about his birth certificate as they're giving Trump about whether or not he gave some information to the Russians.
Agreed.
This is evidence of inherent unfairness.
It is unfair, but you know what? That's then we're here. That didn't drop the stock market 400 points. That didn't, give the opportunity of everything, falling apart. So
who is causing the stock market to fall? Can we track this to Trump for having an illicit association with Putin? Or is this something we can track to the left-wing media that's going to blame Trump for everything he does?
It's the uncertainty that it brings into the markets. Mm-hmm. And from when he was elected in November, I thought you would see this type of reaction in the markets and in gold because he does bring an element of uncertainty. Not the type of uncertainty I was expecting. But yet, and his problems that he has, and I'm not dumping on Trump, but I'm trying to explain. If he is sidetracked and he has to focus on clearing his name, how's he, the tax cuts was just, they're still a long way away from any type of tax cuts. The infrastructure spending, as I said, deregulation, healthcare. I mean, none of that can be focused on. He's got big problems with North Korea. He's got problems with, a lot of big things. And how can
and
he handle?
And he can't get to him while he's fighting this war against
whether it be
the
real
Disney.
Or not. We don't know yet. Hey, I do question what. Flynn might be a nice guy, but he sure is going out of the way to, support that guy. And it's like, well, get over it. He's done. And Flynn, who wanted immunity. They didn't give it to him, but he was willing to testify under immunity. That means Flynn must, you would think. If someone wants and calls for immunity.
I'm not guilty of anything, but I want immunity before I testify.
But you know, I have some other interesting information you might want. You know, I'll deal with you. He's trying to strike a deal. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know, but is this the start of the market falling? I don't know. Trump is heading overseas. We've seen the dollar drop considerably. We've seen the euro rise. He's not going to be welcomed, I don't believe. He'll be welcomed in Saudi Arabia with those guys. But when he moves on to the G20 meeting, I mean, he still is the leader of the free world, so to speak. He is still the president of the United States. So he still will receive a certain amount of, you know, they know who butters their bread.
A certain amount of respect and a certain amount of support, but you can bet that there will be a couple of people at that G20 meeting who will intentionally go out of their way to insult Trump just to get a little press for themselves. Whoever stands up and say Trump is a bad guy, they're going to get some news coverage. And some people will settle it. They say, yeah, I want some news coverage. Whether they believe Trump is a bad guy or they don't believe it, they're saying this is an opportunity to attract some political attention. And people in my country will, who are already opposed to Trump, they will stand up and say, yay, the speaker from our country could criticize Trump. It's really disturbing because it becomes just a kind of political circus of the worst sort. I don't know that anyone is looking at this from a, you know, what's the truth of the matter? Nobody cares. The truth of the matter appears to be that the establishment wants Trump out of the White House. That appears to be the truth of the matter. And no one is mounting an effective defense for Trump. And even if there's no impeachment, they never reach a point where they're going to impeach Trump.
His credibility has been destroyed.
Oh, not just that. How long... they may be better off to not impeach him. If they know they're going to lose in the impeachment process, it may be that the left is better off to just stumble along and say, we're going to impeach him, we're going to impeach him, we're going to impeach him, and 6 months from now, they're still going to be going to impeach him, and a year and 2 years and so on, they can keep beating this horse, whether it's alive or dead. And maybe they get more out of beating this horse than they do out of, I don't know, pulling the wagon, moving the wagon, pulling the plow, whatever. Just beat the horse.
Hey,
the whole thing is bizarre. It's not, and it does not all by itself. This polarization is, this is what's contributing to a certain amount of doubt in this country. And we're going to see an adjustment in the markets. We're going to see an adjustment because I don't know how much they've gone up since Trump was elected. But there was no fundamental reason for it. They went up because they thought Trump was going to cause some positive change in this country. And the market went up out of optimism. And it's been going up for I don't know, 6 months now, maybe more. Sooner or later, they're going to realize, uh-oh, we really didn't have any reason to go up. At that point, somebody's going to, the market, in my opinion, is going to go back to where it was perhaps around the time of the election. We'll take a break for a couple of commercials, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
On the line, I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value. value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Folks, we're back again. It's Melody Cederstrom and Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
About 13% of U.S. employees nationwide have a retirement fund, as all of Congress does. And that's the courtesy of course, Uncle Sam. Private retirement savers often pay management fees that can exceed 1% annually. Members of Congress pay a maximum of 0.039% for funds guaranteed to match the market. And there's a proposal floating around. They want to end the tax deductibility of your pension contributions so they can give a $1.5 billion tax break to U.S. corporations. You know, when we talk about tax cuts, dropping the corporation from 35 to 15%, somebody's got to pay for it. And it's
cut spending.
No, they're not going to cut spending.
Well,
somebody
I know that,
has
but
that's to
the,
pay.
That's the alternative.
Somebody ain't going to be able to cut, you know, anyway. So Congress is reportedly considering whether to reduce the benefits of contributing to a 401k and similar retirement plans. And again, because they want to reform the corporate taxes, cutting the rate from 35 to 15%. According to the latest report from the Joint Committee on Taxation, the exclusion of contributions to and earnings of defined contribution plans will cost the federal government more than $584 billion over the next 5 years. This new proposal would treat all 401k and traditional IRA contributions as if they were Roth IRAs. You'd lose the tax exclusion of these contributions, but your future 401k earnings and appreciation would be tax-free. Some think this could raise $1.5 trillion in additional tax revenue over the next decade, making the corporate tax slash feasible. Unless they decide to tax retirement earnings and appreciation too. So who knows? Right now, any income and gains from your 401k and your traditional IRA generate don't get taxed until you make withdrawals, you know, with the idea that the older you get, the lower tax bracket that you'll fall into. But a new proposal would impose a 15% tax on those annual gains, raising another $1.5 trillion over the next decade. And that would be even worse than ordinary taxable investment accounts. However, where one can defer capital gains tax simply by not selling shares. So if you don't sell it, you know, then you don't have anything to worry about. So it's not really a question of whether retirement plans will get a haircut. It's just a matter of how much. And the person who said that was Bradford Campbell, former Assistant Secretary of Labor for Employee Benefits under President George W. Bush. Replacing revenue lost to tax cuts, he says, is a game of winners and losers.
Excuse me.
And the retirement system is poised to be one of the losers. So with the tax...
Why is it a loser, Melody? Why is it poised to be a loser?
You tell us, Al.
Well, because they have some money. There's no point taxing poor people. They can't get any money out of poor people. It means they're looking around. Who can we hustle? Where's some money that we can take? That's the lesson. And the point is, these pension funds have the money at a place in a computer hard drive someplace. They have the ones and zeros on the hard drive. They don't even have real money. They have ones and zeros on the hard drive that's easily found and easily taxed. And you can only wonder, after they get done taxing the retirement funds, who's next? You got any money? The government's going to say, we want it. They'll come up with some cock and bull story about, oh, we're entitled to it. We're the government. It's the law. Some other nonsense. The truth of the matter is the government is already insolvent, arguably bankrupt, and they're trying to avoid facing that reality.
So there's $20 trillion sitting there, and closing loopholes as well as cutting rates like Ronald Reagan, it just won't be a tax cut as it had been just rumored. Like the retirement contribution exclusion, the proposals also do away with state and local income tax deductions. So if you live in a place like New York or California, that's a very big deal. Although low-income voters would probably come out neutral since they tend not to have 401ks or IRA plans, households earning $50,000 or more, most, you know, or the folks who voted for the administration, would take a serious hit if retirement contributions were subject to tax up front. High-income families probably won't care one way or another since they tend to hit the retirement contribution limits fairly quickly anyway. So again, those right in the middle, that's going to get whacked. Trump's plan cuts the corporate rate from 35% to 15%. Many U.S. corporations already pay less than 15% thanks to the loopholes, especially in energy, utilities, heavy industry. They're the ones that will probably oppose the plan since it closes those loopholes. So again, is this even going to get done and so forth? But if there's money sitting there and government needs it, yeah, it probably will. And when I was reading this, it talked about these investors were talking about long-term buy and hold strategies may become more attractive than retirement funds. There isn't a better long-term buy and hold strategy than gold.
I agree.
I mean, that's the best long-term buy and hold that you could ever possibly place your money. It's private. You get to keep it. You convert those dollars into gold, and the dollar is going to be losing value. Higher taxes. I don't care how many tax cuts they give us. Your taxes are going higher. You know, if they don't get you from one area, they're going to get you someplace else. And of course, as Al mentioned, and when what I mentioned earlier in this article is, you know, there's money sitting there, folks. It's your money. It's your retirement accounts. And soon to be, and you know, we've known they've been zeroing in on retirement accounts. It's money sitting there. It's just a matter of time. But now we have Mr. Trump who wants to change the tax codes, and they need the money somewhere. That's why they had to pass the health care bill. Of course, we don't know. I haven't figured that one out yet, but so again, this is all part of the uncertainty that we face right now is whether he's going to be impeached. Me, I think these tax cuts, the health, the infrastructure spending, to me, that is far more uncertain than whether he's going to be impeached or not at this point in time. But the impeachment is what moved the markets. Yesterday, Al, we talked about China and Japan was buying up the U.S. debt while Russia is buying up more of America's debt. In March, the country bought $13.5 billion of U.S. government bonds. Russia's total holdings of U.S. debt have now increased to nearly $100 billion. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's the third straight month of buying from Russia. Key reason is that Russia is restocking its foreign reserves, which declined dramatically when oil prices crushed last year to their lowest, to their lower level since 2003. So,
still, it seems strange.
Yep.
That Russia and the United States are allegedly antagonistic, at least to some degree, and yet Russia is buying U.S. bonds. Isn't there anybody else in all the world that they could buy bonds from? And it does not appear to me that you can look at U.S. bonds and say, oh, there's a deal. You know, we'll get paid on that for sure. I'm not convinced about that. I think the bonds are very vulnerable, although it might be years before we see that vulnerability express itself, and it might not. It might be months. I don't know. But if I were running Russia, I might buy North Korean bonds before I'd buy United States bonds. I mean, I don't think either one of them are a good buy, but there should be some political. There are some political implications in this that are contrary to the idea that the U.S. and Russia are antagonistic to some degree.
Well, most countries do hold their currency reserves in U.S. Treasury bonds because they're still considered one of the safest investments in the world. So. Soon to change.
Yeah, I know.
Soon to change.
Sense and that common knowledge is going to be destroyed at some point in the future. Again, we've been telling you for years, what can't be paid won't be paid. The debt's too great to be paid. It's going to be repudiated, either by somebody coming out and saying expressly, sorry, boys, we can't pay the debt, can't pay on our bonds. And they're either going to say it expressly or they're going to do something like hyperinflation, which will wipe out the value of the bonds, right, and make it easier for government to survive this thing. But hyperinflation will also destroy the value of the bonds. One or the other, repudiation, outright repudiation, or hyperinflation. One or the other. Why? Because they're broke. They can't pay the debt. And we're just now talking about why they are going to probably try to seize money that's in people's pension accounts. I don't mean all of it, but increase the taxes on it, and milk those pension accounts for a certain amount of tax revenue. Why are they doing that? They have to know this is going to be politically unpopular, at least with the retirees who have pension funds. Right? They have to know this is the American Retirees Association. They're going to scream and shout. They vote. This is going to be a problem. They're willing to do it anyway. Why? The evidence to me suggests that they're desperate. They have to get the money someplace. You know, we've got the Federal Reserve is broadcasting that they intend to start liquidating the existing bonds that they have on their balance sheet. And they're talking about liquidating at least $2 trillion worth. And the way they plan to do it is they plan to simply let them reach maturity and not renew them. Right? When they say they're not going to renew the existing bonds, they're saying that they're not taking any more U.S. government bonds. They plan to restrict their access to U.S. government bonds and or the bonds that go to the mortgage-backed securities. But they aren't taking any more bonds. There's not going to be any more of that by the Federal Reserve, or at least that's the implication at the moment. Who's going to take the government's bonds? Federal Reserve doesn't want them. Who else wants them? If they can't sell them, it means we're going to have to find some retirees. Where'd you say you keep in your pension fund?
That's why we have Japan and China and Russia picking up. Maybe they're buying some of that Federal Reserve.
Well, I know they are. Yeah. But they're propping this country up.
Yeah.
And it seems China, we're supposed to have kind of an antagonistic relationship with China. We're going to face off in the South China Sea. No, they're propping us up by buying some of our bonds. Russia, propping us up by buying some of our bonds. I mean, I have no idea what's going on in order to encourage them to make a move to hold this country together. And maybe it's their intent, they'll buy some bonds, then they'll pull the trigger later on. Some people think of that. But it just,
well, you know, Russia
would be better
now
off in life. If you want to do the country some harm, don't buy the bonds.
Russia now owns the largest oil refinery in the country. So deals are made that we don't know about in order to keep the system going. So,
well, I understand.
You know,
if
in
it
the
goes
same
down,
way
the whole
Russia,
world
China,
goes down.
Everybody
the whole
wants
world
a part,
goes down if the United States goes down.
Everybody wants a part of the U.S., and they're getting it. You know, we're being cut up, auctioned off to the highest bidders out there just to keep the system going. And it all is going to fall down onto everyone that is listening to this program, every taxpayer in this country and unless you do something to protect yourself. Yep. I did want to get to this one article today about Trump is unveiling plans, and it kind of falls into this for an Arab NATO in Saudi Arabia. He's going to be in Riyadh this week. He's going to lay out his vision for a new regional, and I doubt if I'm going to get to the end of this, a new regional security architecture, White House officials call an Arab NATO, to guide the fight against terrorism and push back against Iran. As a cornerstone of the plan, Trump will also announce one of the largest arms sales deals in history. I'm not sure how I agree think about that yet, but behind the scenes, the Trump administration and Saudi Arabia have been conducting extensive negotiations led by White House senior advisor Jared Kushner and Saudi Deputy Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Discussions began shortly after the presidential election when Mohammed, known in Washington as MBS, sent a delegation to meet with Kushner and other Trump officials at Trump Towers. You know, I just don't. My question is, if we give the Saudis everything they need to protect themselves, they no longer have to support the dollar. My question is that part of the deal? We're going to give you all this stuff. We're going to help you protect yourself. But in the meantime, you will still have to sell your oil in U.S. dollars. So, you know, there's a connection there.
No, I don't doubt that. They're trying to sustain the petrodollar.
Yep.
And keep Saudi Arabia on the reservation where they keep selling their crude oil for dollars. And therefore, the dollar maintains some sort of implicit value.
The idea of this Arab NATO has been around for years. It always had strong Saudi support, but it never was openly endorsed by the U.S. government. Officials say the concept fits three major tenets of Trump's America First foreign policy frame, asserting more American leadership in the region, you know, supposedly to help fight us against ISIS. I'm beginning to wonder, is ISIS really real, or is that just the boogeyman that they created? The White House admits that many of the details of how the new alliance will operate remain to be worked out. So again, it's like the health care. Oh, here's the new health care, but hey, the details, there's no details. And you know, the double
Yeah, you have
details.
To vote for it, and then we'll let you, that'll be a surprise.
Tax cuts. Oh, this is what we want to do, but no details. Devil's in the details. It's the same thing on the infrastructure. We want to do, but there's no details on anything. And I hear the music, so I guess that's a detail that
we have to pay attention to that detail. That means we're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and I, the producer. Bye-bye.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.